Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix, DFS Golf Podcast, and we are getting ready for RBC Heritage. But before we do that, Skeeter, we take a look back. It is the Masters now in our rearview mirror, the first major gone. John Rahm gets the second major, gets the green jacket, the fourth Spaniard, which he was all about how proud he was representing Spanish golf as well as himself. So, Skeeter, what are we taking away from the Masters? It was, as it is always, very entertaining. This one, honestly, I thought maybe even a little more entertaining than last year, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, because there were a lot of, I mean, first of all, the delays kind of made things interesting. And then, well, let's just face it, the live elements certainly made their presence felt with Brooks leading for the first three rounds. And then on Sunday, out of nowhere, it's Phil who's making the charge up the leaderboard to end up T2. Like, and Reed was even trying to make a little bit of a deep run. Spieth and his group with Mickelson. With, I think he was leading the entire group until 18 when Phil birdie and Spieth bogeyed to lose that group. So if you had played Spieth any head-to-heads, that was a painful way to lose. But end of the day, Rahm was consistent, never really got pressured, and you know, hey, even if you can hit a 110-yard drive on 18 and still make par, it's just the way Rahm is. And, you know, second year in a row, we see one of these super elite top three golfers take the green jackets. But, you know, everybody's waiting for the third one to do it to complete the career Grand Slam. But, you know, can we play Rory at Augusta? Or is this just a fade until he stops putting so much pressure on himself?
I had him in four lineups and a few with Corey Connors. Those were my two big bombs last week, so I bet you I'll be snake bit and not play Rory next year at Augusta.
Well, what about DJ for you? I mean, he did make the cut, but his start Saturday was not great and didn't get any better.
He at least made the cut. He was terrible, but he at least made the cut.
Yeah. Yeah, I needed Corey Connors for a big 6-6. I also had I think it was Hoagie that would have made a good 6-6. I had two pretty good 5-6s, including one that had Rahm and Koepka in the same lineup, but Jason Day was the one who kind of tanked that lineup. But no, I mean, it was fun to watch. Also a little surprised on Sunday we didn't see that hole-in-one on 16. Kind of waiting for that.
It was close, or if not, at least some hole-outs were close.
That Thigala one was amazing.
I feel like maybe Morikawa had one that was really good, too.
Yeah, I think his was like one revolution away.
Yeah, there was a couple good ones. And then Brooksy gets up there after he makes birdie on 15, and he doesn't even try to use the slope. He just fires right at the cup, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Obviously, I had that ticket on him, for those that are unaware, so I was upset about it, but it's like, dude, just fire at the slope and let the slope help you out, but it wasn't meant to be anyway, that's for sure.
Right. Oh, yeah. But no, I thought it was pretty entertaining. Wish the delays weren't there, because it kind of seemed like Saturday and even Sunday morning was kind of ruined by the weather. And then Sunday afternoon, again, I thought there'd be more people making the deep runs like Phil and Spieth did, and it just never really happened. Reed made a minor one, but never got going. Thigala, I think, had one, but he was too far back for it to really matter. But he got that top 12, so he's back in. Oh, yeah, how can we forget the first two-round brilliance of the amateur Sam Bennett?
Which is an awesome story. I mean, unfortunately, he didn't get in that top 12 to get his invite back next year. But, yeah, that was a very good story, being in the final group on Saturday morning.
Yeah, he plays with the first 2 days with Homa and Scheffler.
Yeah.
And then round three gets to play with Rahm and Koepka. Like, you want to talk about, you know, I realize he won the USAM, but you want to talk about some dream pairings there. Like, boy, that's a great four to play some golf at Augusta with.
Yeah, that was very fun to watch. Considering no other amateur made the cut, I don't even think any of the other amateurs were all that close to making the cut. Maybe they ended up being as the cut line descended further into the depths. But he was heads and shoulders above the rest. And you know, it's like there's always great stories. You don't know which one's going to get you. This year it was Sam Bennett. That was a great tale.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, JT, boy, rough finish for him to miss the cut, but that all allowed all the threes, including Tiger.
Dude,
and then
Dude, so we get done from work on Saturday. So it's, you know, I'm doing lawn care business. We get back from Saturday. Saturday's third round has been rained out officially. So TV goes to the replay. They go to JT, and he is doing his on-course interview Saturday morning to finish his second round. And at the time, he's plus one. They ask him if he's drinking, like, a protein, you know, a smoothie, what he's having for breakfast. And he goes... And you got to remember now, I'm watching this after the fact, knowing that he explodes and doesn't make the cut. He's like, yeah, drinking a protein shake. He's like, I had to get up early today. He's like, I got a real long day ahead of me. And I just started dying laughing. I was like, if only you knew.
Yeah.
You do not.
Oh, he was devastated on 18. Like when he bogeyed to miss a cut, he knew it. He was just irate. Just, I think Bones put his arm around trying to comfort him and calm him down, but he could just tell. But then he actually, I mean, He was pretty interactive on Twitter on Sunday.
I did not see. I gave up social media for Lent, Skeeter. So outside of like retweeting our podcast links, I never really was on. And so Sunday, I didn't get back on there. I peaked a little bit today. I haven't delved back into much.
How was that? Because that had to be a nice cleanse for not having to worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I ever worry about it, but it was just like I finally found myself not – just scrolling for no reason. You know, if you're sitting there and you're waiting on somebody, you know, I'm at my girlfriend's house and she's like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I'm just sitting there. I'd pet the dog. I'd just look out the window. I'd just be a little bit more introspective instead of just staring at some stupid telephone. So it was kind of nice. We'll see where this leads.
Well, at least it's a football season when you need breaking injury news or.
I rest assured. I will. Be on there. Rest assured. I mean, I was on there today and yesterday. I'm not going to act like I wasn't at all. But I haven't seen a whole lot.
I'm not sure you've missed a whole lot, especially if it's on Twitter, because, you know, it's a vile place at times.
That is the fact. Well, Skeeter, anything further from Augusta, Georgia?
I don't think so.
Well, why don't we just head right up the coast to Hilton Head, South Carolina? It's RBC Heritage. It's the Harbortown Golf Links. Are you ready to get down with it?
Absolutely.
We've got ourselves an amazing field in this elevated event. Before we break down the cast of characters, though, Skeeter, what are we looking for here at this course? It's it's an interesting one.
Yeah, par 70. It's not real long. I want to say it might even be under 7,000 yards or right around there. So you'll see a lot of three woods. People don't need to hit drivers here because it's that short of a course. Trees will kind of make things narrow, but I'm not sure hitting the fairway. It's big, but I'm not sure it's the rough's real penal. Even missing these are tend to be small greens. Missing the greens isn't the worst thing. Like scrambling percentage here is higher than it is at most tour events. So, you know, you can kind of get up and down on these small greens, but the cut does tend to kind of float around one and two over every single year, so there is enough trouble that you can get into, especially if you get behind one of those trees or something like that. But so stat-wise, just tee to green, I think an overall approach would be nice. Having a solid approach, giving yourself chances at birdies. The proximity range is 150 to 200. Nine of the 12 par fours fall between 400 and 500 yards, so that range we'll look at, and then a little bit of putting here. So this is an elevated event, so this is why we see such a big field here. So consider that for one and done. And as you know, I kind of point out to you before the show, this event pays $5 million more than the Masters. So
that's crazy.
And all the majors pay $15 million this year. All the elevated events pay $20 million. So I guess I didn't fully realize that until like yesterday and then today. So if you're doing one and done, kind of keep that in mind. That's, you know, majors are important, but you know, you don't, you know, if you want to go with a, we'll say tier two, tier three player at a major, and you want to save your big guns for the elevated events, there is some merit to that.
And Skeeter, like we say in gambling, you know, as I'm trying to get over the fact that I don't cash that Brooksy ticket at 66-1, these all wintering tickets pay the same. So, you know, you get good odds on a player you like in this elevated event. You probably will, because there's some players when we get into pricing down low They all pay the same, right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the winner gets. It just matters what you get from whatever you're cashing.
That's right. I've already made one bet, and it's pretty curious if it's one that you will be making or that has caught your attention as well.
I don't know. I haven't looked to see if Jim Herman was 500-1 or not yet.
That is not who I bet. But.
Before we get into the players, though, Skeeter, speaking of a guy like Jim Herman, speaking of, you know, we got this elevated event and these great players. I look at a lot of these winners here. This looks like a place where maybe a short hitter has a good chance.
I think it's fairly open to any type of player. I know. Did Dustin ever win here, or was he just always competitive here and just never won?
Bryson has also been very competitive without winning here, too, I did notice.
Yeah, so, I mean, as I've been looking at.
Dustin, I don't see winning. No. I see, but very competitive.
Snedeker, Gay, Grace, Boo Weekly, Badley.
Is Kisner a winner here?
No, Kucher is a DL3 dominator of this place. You would thought this feels like a Kisner course. Furyk. Spieth won a year ago in a playoff over Cantlay, Kadira, Stu Sinks won here 3 times, Webb. Yeah, so you don't need to be a big distance guy, but I'm not sure distance is a...
hindrance?
Right, because, I mean, you can club down a little bit, so, if you hit good approaches, I'm just trying to look to see who some of the, you know, trying to think who some of the bombers are at potentially play well here, like... Yeah, I mean, JT's got a couple top 10s. But yeah, I think this is one that is open for basically any type of player. So it opens up a little more variance. And yeah, you can. Some of the guys who've had success tend to be more your accuracy players. Like, I mean, I see Corey Connors, Daniel Berger, Kucher. Good, really good course histories here. Yeah, Bryson did have like 3 top 10s here. That's a good
one. Yeah, he was either going to bomb and gouge this place or just get gouged by it, apparently.
Harman, Horschel have had success. So, again, if you want to think about this one, thinking like your Sonys, your Colonials, your Sedgefield for the Wyndham, those types of events, this one certainly fits into that narrative.
Shall we get into this field?
Absolutely.
God, it's got to be one of the best fields the week after the Masters ever. Yes. 10K plus. It's John Rahm at the top, 11-1. Scottie Scheffler, 11. Jordan's 10-4. Cantlay, 10-3. Morikawa, 10K even. Skeeter, where are you going on this group of players?
So I'll be honest, I don't know how much I'm going to get into this tier. If I do, it's Cantlay. His course history here is impeccable. Second, 2/3, 1/7, and a missed cut his past 5 appearances here. He made that. He had that third round run at Augusta and kind of faded off on Sunday. But those things happen. He's 5th tee to green, 5th in birdies or better, 2nd in the par 4s from 450 to 500, 12th from 4 to 450. Overall, I think just rates pretty well on everything. 10-3. I don't know. You know, maybe the course history people will be on him, but I don't know how much steam he's going to get. As I'm going to pull up the ownership projections for the first time and see that, of course, everybody is on him. So that's just great.
I'm not going to argue with you, though. So if I get up here, it probably is slow play Pat. I just came up with that one. As my number one guy, I wonder, I mean, look, we're going to get into the fade. I wonder how many of these guys actually end up showing up. I heard an interview on the SiriusXM Golf Channel today with Jordan where he was talking about he's played 8 of the last 11 weeks, and he's got to redo his schedule. He needs a break. So Jordan, who's probably not going to withdraw, and I'm obviously speculating madly, because he's the defending champion, but I'm wondering who's going to be left standing. We record this on a Monday night. Come Thursday morning, who's actually in this field?
Yeah, because I was listening to Fantasy Sports Radio this morning, and they broke that when Rory withdrew, and there had been rumors, and they thought they had heard a rumor that Spieth might be withdrawing. So, yeah, that's one to keep an eye on. I don't think anybody would be surprised if Rahm pulls the plug here.
Exactly.
I guess the thing is, if you like a number for one of these top 10, 15 guys, bet it now because it will tank if Spieth pulls out or Rahm does or something like that.
Fantastic point. I'm with you. I'm going Cantlay one. I think if I go to another player in this tier, it's Morikawa. He was good at the Masters, not great. He's had a little success here. What, he had a ninth or something like that a few years back. So a seventh, excuse me. And the price is cheaper. And frankly, the two guys up top I want nothing to do with, nor do I really want anything to do with the defending champion, given the day he had yesterday and the fact that he's generally a universally popular player.
Yeah. See, my second will be Scheffler.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, he's still playing well. I mean, he was hanging around a little bit, but then just didn't have a good set. I think round three kind of killed Scheffler. He made a little bit of a run yesterday, but never got there. But look, the reason why people, why Rahm was the least, or was the least popular of the Super 3 was because, oh, he had a random 40-some-odd place finish. He's still been playing well. I'm going to use the same reason here for Scheffler. Like, just because he doesn't go win or doesn't have, you know, a top 10 at Augusta, I don't mind that. So, you know, pressure's off a little bit, and maybe he's like, all right, round one, I got to keep pace, so here I go. So for me, I'm going to take a look at Scheffler.
You got a fade for me?
It'll probably, well, I mean, Spieth, for what the reasons, that the fact that there's some concern he might withdraw, Rahm for the same reason. And I'm probably playing at most three to five lineups this week, so I'm not really, you know, if I'm playing 150, I'm going to take some chances, but not at 1-3 on those guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm actually, the easy answer is Rahm coming off the major championship. I really will be stunned if he plays. If he does, kudos to him. But yeah, I think that's pretty easy for me. I think this next tier of players is where we really start to get, a little interesting. You ready to get into it?
Yep.
Let's do it. It's 9K at 9,800. It's Victor Hovland, Cam Young at 96, Tony Finau 94, Xander Schauffele 93, Max Homa 91. Skeeter, you got one that stands out for you?
Yeah, it's there. It's a story time. So, when I mentioned Sony, I mentioned Colonial, I mentioned Heritage, I mentioned Sedgefield. Who are some of the golfers that come to mind historically who've played really well there?
Out of this tier?
Not this tier. No, the
okay.
The guy's actually,
I mean, Webb Simpson's the name I think of.
Yes.
Are you going to the caddy route here?
I am.
Because that's not why he's my favorite, but he's mine too.
I mean, I'll play that into the role, but no, I mean, look, Paul Tesori has been on the bag for many of these, and look what happened.
You're right.
I mean, Cam Young makes the match play finals, had a pretty good tournament at Augusta. Now we're coming to a place that Tesori's former player, Webb Simpson, was pretty good at. Cam Young was third here a year ago. He rates out well in birdies and opportunities, tee to green, par 4, 450 to 500, just whether or not the putter's there or not. But, you know, 9,600 for Cam Young with that experience here, coming off a third last year, he's a consideration for me for one and done.
He is actually in consideration for me in one and done as well. He is somebody that I could consider getting to at the book. Cameron Davis finished in a tie for third last year. Cameron Smith finished ninth last year here. Cameron, or 2 years ago. Cameron Tringali was 12th last year. You see where I'm going with this story? All Cameron's do well here.
Oh. Well, there you go. All the Cams and all.
And Cam Young was one of those who T3'd last year here. Yeah, dude, Cam Young for me, I like him a lot, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Who else are you going with? We'll see if we stay conjoined here.
Well, I was concerned that maybe, you know, I have some Norwegian in me. I was like, oh no, Hovland's gonna win this, and I don't have him. But my reason I didn't play him in Augusta is, man, you got to be able to scramble a little bit, chip around the green. Well, scrambling is a little easier here than it is at the normal course. That takes away Hovland's biggest weakness. And we know he can be lights out with the approach. We saw that a little bit last week. 9,800, I could start some lineups with Vic.
We're in lockstep here as this one as well. You know, I was going to ask you if I should be worried about the small greens and Victor Hovland, but you tell me that it's easier to scramble here. So I am right there in line with you. Hovland's my number two here.
Yeah, and then I have a third.
I'm with you. Let's have it.
And maybe, and of course, there'll be another player right around this range that I think we'll get some attention, but I realize we're not on the West Coast anymore. We're not at Wells Fargo. But Max Homa at 9,100 feels a little too cheap in this way he's played. Granted, I know once we've left the West Coast, he's been down a little bit, but, you know, 14th at API, 6th of the players, 43rd of the Masters. He's just hasn't figured out Augusta yet, but still is playing okay. Irons are there, like 9,100. He's second approach, 16th green, 9th at birdies are better. And he rates out really well those par 4 distances, top 5 in both 400 to 450 and 450 to 500, 6 in putting. He just hits all the categories I want, and if people are going to kind of forget about him a little bit because he's not on the West Coast, fine with me, I'll play him.
I want to know your fading. And for what it's worth, I don't have one.
I guess it's Finau. Like, I've never seen, I mean, he still rates out really well for me. What has he been doing?
Playing really good. All three of these other guys, besides the two we like, have been all playing good. Like, this is a tough fade to really come up with.
Yeah, I mean, Finau's approach has been good. I guess when I look at it and see, he's only had two top tens. Granted, his worst finish is 26. So we're nitpicking here, but
his floor has been higher, but his ceiling has been lower. If you wanted to make the case that he's the fade, I suppose I could get with you.
But yeah, It's not a fate I hate. Like, if you tell me you want to play Finau, I'm not going to object to it.
I was going to tell you I'm fading Max Homa, but, like, literally, when I went through this group of guys, I was like, I could see myself. I'm probably only going to do three lineups. I don't know that I'm going to use all five. I could see myself doing it, though.
What is Xander's record here?
It's not good, but he's been playing really good, too. Xander's had the poorest, probably, finishes with three results.
And Finau hasn't had a ton of success. He hasn't played here much. So, I mean, again, we're just trying to find reasons why.
Sure.
Here, but those would be, I mean, that's enough for me where I can make a Cam Young narrative. Homa is the cheapest of the group, and he's had a phenomenal year.
Mm-hmm.
And Hovland coming off, you know, what he did at Augusta, and maybe he's starting to show some signs of life. Like,
and this kind of has a Euro-y feel to it, RBC Heritage with, you know, the water and stuff. So it seems like, I mean, when we get into this next tier, you're going to have a Euro explosion coming for me.
You know, I'm looking here. We had a Euro win recently here.
Oh.
Graham McDowell, 2013.
That's not all that recent.
I mean, Carl Pedersen, 2012, would be Swedish.
There you go.
Brandon Gray, South Africa, Satoshi Gadaya, Japan. Badly, Australia. But I feel like Hatton Fleetwood have had success here.
Hatton has had one good tournament here.
Tommy, too, for, I mean, 10th and 25th with a missed cut, so. Huh, okay.
At any rate, are we ready to take it to that 8K tier?
Yes.
Let's do it. It's JT at the top of it at 8,900. Sam Burns, 87. Sung JM's, 86. Tom Kim's, 85. Matt Fitzpatrick, 84, Shane Lowry, 83, Terrell Hatton, 82, Tommy Fleetwood, 81, and Sahith Theegala's 8K. Skeeter, who's your favorite?
I realize he missed the cut last week. He hasn't been himself, but you know what? I think the last time we saw JT floating around these numbers, was it the 21 Players Championship that he went and won? And then he was like 22-1 last year at the PGA Championship and won. Like, I'm just going to bet long-term form here. It's JT. I don't care what his form is. If he's ever in the 8Ks, I'm just playing him.
Oh, no.
Is he your fade?
Oh, no. He is going to be my fade when we get there. Because I bet he's going to be crazy popular. I'm actually, my favorite play is not going to be a Euro, although 2, 3, and 4 for me will be. But it's going to be an international player. It's going to be Sung JM.
Yeah.
Sungjae's had decent success here, 21st and a 13th the last 2 years. Sungjae's been playing consistent, not necessarily great, but what do we get from him a week ago? We get a T16. We got a T6 from him at the Players. So his last two tournaments with the major fields have been great. He was 21st at the API before that, so those are the last three times we've seen him out. I'm going Sungjae here, man.
I can't object. I feel like every year we get here, he's always 21st and 13th. I think my thing with Sungjae is I want to see him compete. I want to see him actually like one of the final couple groups on Sunday. He felt like it's been a while since he's been there.
I can't argue with that.
But this feels like a Sungjae course, and you could probably make the same case for Tom Kim, who has, you know, kind of hit a little bit of that sophomore slump a little bit, you could say, and is kind of hasn't really, you know, is kind of on a downtrend a little bit. But you, when you think of both their games, this seems like a pretty good fit for them.
I would agree. Yeah, Tom with no course history, I'm interested in, because good Masters after a rough spell. So he's not really in the – he's in the middle of this tier for me, but I'm with you as far as this fit in both of them. You don't go JT. Where else are you going?
Well, I mean, the second most the most popular in this range will probably be Shane Lowry, because once again, if you go to the course history, his past 4 years, third, ninth, missed cut, third. Like, you know, that seems a fit, and he made the cuts. It's just whether or not he can putt. That's been his biggest issue, but his ball striking is there. So with that good course history, 8,300 is a fair price. Might have to be a strategic fade for me, but he'll be in consideration.
He is currently my number two in this tier. But I like Matthew Fitzpatrick, who plays this place really well too.
See, that's going to be my fade.
Fitzy?
Yeah.
Okay.
10th of the Masters, 14th API. Surrounds those with this cut, so he's boom or bust.
I agree with that.
And what he's been doing recently, because you would think that this would be like the perfect course for him as well, but I don't know. His missed cuts have been terrible, but his approach numbers have been bad. He's been very putter reliant, and I just don't want to play that type of player this week.
I can get with it. I think we've hit all the high notes here. So your fade and my fade are favorite plays of each other. So much different in 9K than we were in 8K.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, that is all right.
We need to be different every now and then from each other.
I could be burned, too, because I played DJ, who was in those who was a high 8K player last week and didn't return any value. So yeah. I kind of went with that same narrative. We'll see if recency bias chaps my keister.
And by the way, I already bet JT at 28-1.
So it's hard to argue with that, man. I just I want to see some more, but if there are zero people are going to be surprised if he wins this thing.
No.
Skeeter, I think these 7Ks, I mean, it's pretty common. It was the same way last week. Tons of good talent that I'm very interested in. I don't know where I start with as a favorite. I mean, I damn near like this whole top half of the tier of 7K.
Yeah, there's a lot of plays here.
Yeah.
You know, I guess we'll just continue. I mean, this is a Matt Kuchar course.
Yeah, it is. Big time, and it's not long for the old guy.
I mean, he's third of Valero, eighth of Genesis, which doesn't exactly seem his type of course. Seventh at Sony earlier. His tournament history here is phenomenal.
Keep in mind, he was good at match play, too.
Yes, well, he's always good at match play, but he's always good here. Like, even when he was not playing well the past couple, you know, he was third last year, 18th in 21, 41st in 2020. Like, he just has a vibe for this course, and, you know, this is like, when we go back 6-7 years ago, Kuchar was always priced at 7,700, and it was like, he was almost a must play, and kind of feels like that's where he is this week as well.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I tell you what, dude, I'll just say it. I don't know that I have a favorite here, but Keegan Bradley, Corey Connors, and Russell Henley, all guys that I think I'm very interested in this week. Is Russell Henley back?
I mean, another one, I threw a bet on him to try and make a run on Sunday because, like, I'm not missing out on Russell Henley if he wants to get on fire, but especially in the front nine. I think he made all pars in a back nine. Like, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, he made a move early. You're right about that. Because he was in – I had 30% Russ Henley last week. Let me Barry Horowitz pat myself on the back. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, dude, he was good at the Players. Now he's been good at the Masters. He's had some good success here. He's also not had some success. But, like, I don't know. Is it too crazy to go Russ Henley? Keegan Bradley? I mean, if this is a place where you got to strike the ball, give me small greens, is bad putting or can get out of the way a little bit. Like, these seem like crazy cheap prices. And then I go, well, yeah, that's because everyone in the every great PGA player is here.
Right. I'd rather go to Corey Connors. I mean, I know he won Valero.
Who I love too.
But I mean, 12th, 4th, and 21st the past 3 years. He's not a long hitter, but he'll keep it in a fairway. He'll keep himself in play. Mm-hmm. So that one just, you know, that's the one that sticks out to me up here in the sevens, him and Kuchar.
And does Corey Connors gain some steam for you or me? because I would think that his ownership will go down. People are chapped from his bad performance last week because he has a great Masters history. He was cheap because pricing came out before he won at Valero. I mean, I don't remember how high his ownership was, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little backlash here.
Yeah, I could see that.
Or I'm just hoping.
Another guy I'm on, which he's popping for me stat-wise, and so far he's not getting a lot of attention, which is surprising. Wyndham Clark.
Yep, I agree. I wrote him down.
Sixth of Punta Cana, fifth of Ellsworth. He hasn't missed a cut since the Shriners. Like, And there's a bunch of top. There's quite a few top 30s, and there are even four top 10s in that span, some other 16ths and 27ths. Like, he's just playing really solid right now. And, you know, even if he finishes 30th, it's probably not what I want at 7,600, but it certainly is not going to kill me.
No, and he's doing that at fields like API and the Players, so they're these fields.
Yeah.
Ricky Fowler.
Yes.
I mean, come on, right? He watched everybody play this week. He's chomping at the bit.
Yeah. He's only played here twice, missed a couple of times, but he's one who's playing. Yeah. Yeah, you play that narrative, but even though I don't think there's any advantage to having played the Masters or not playing the Masters and coming here. It kind of seems like a semi-random event.
Am I over-evaluating fatigue from last week for Ricky not playing?
No, probably, but I don't think it matters one way or the other. If you like, don't factor in last week, because just like the Players can kind of be of a unique setup. Augusta National is a unique setup, so just because you played well there or you bombed and missed a cut, I wouldn't put too much stock into it.
I'll throw out Chris Kirk as well.
Yeah, he rates out well for me long-term, but short-term, he does not rate out very well for me. So I will probably end up passing on Chris Kirk.
Okay, that's fair. Like I said, I pretty much liked everybody in the top half of this tier. I more or less named the ones you didn't.
Yeah, down below, I'm going to go to one of your guys who's, you know, won a few weeks ago over in Punta Cana, but Matt Wallace, 7th of Valspar, won at Punta Cana, followed that up the following week, 20th at Valero. Irons are there, off the tee is improving, putters hit or miss, but he's just playing too well for me to ignore at 7,300.
I can get with Matt Wallace.
Raced out pretty well in approach and birdie shot better, so that's always a nice combination.
JT Poston sits right there in that price range too, with some great course history, coming off of a couple of good weeks in a row.
Fits that narrative of those shorter courses we saw. He's won Wyndham, I believe.
That sounds right.
Yeah, let me double check on that. My computer will sort for me. Yeah, he won in 2019.
Okay, I was going to say, that sounded right. I know he won your favorite John Deere Classic too.
I can always get behind that. But 34th of the Masters, 10th of Valspar, and his irons were pretty good then. Like, he'd been playing pretty well in January. Kind of went through a little tough spell through the Players, but seems to be coming back out. And again, great history here, so I can get on board. I did not mark him, so thank you for pointing that one out.
Who else are we looking at? Ryan Fox looks cheap at 7,200. Been playing really good.
Oh man, I can usually play Ryan Fox. Might have to dig into him a little bit more. Ben Martin keeps popping up stat wise. Really good approach, really good opportunities. Doesn't seem to be doing much wrong in any of the stat categories. 10th at Valero, 8th at Punta Cana, who's 5th at Honda. Hasn't missed a cut since the Farmers. So that could be one that maybe gains some steam a little bit. Yeah, why I have Sepp Straka mentioned here? I have no idea why I have Sepp Straka mentioned.
Because you like his name.
I mean, he's Austrian, but I mean, unless he's Norwegian, I probably don't too much of any. I mean, Tom Hoge, he's just always going to rate well statistically. Whether or not this is a course fit for him, I don't know. Yeah, okay. 25th, 55th, and 3 missed cuts, probably not exactly the history I want here for him.
I don't know that I have any other guys in the 7Ks that I can make a case for.
I mean, look, I have, you know, Kitayama is somebody I'll probably always like could always play just because of scoring upside. Actually, there's one more guy I want to check on and see how popular he is.
Justin Rose.
Oh, I mean, hey, I played him last week. He was for a while. That was looking good. He actually had a solid.
He was okay. He wasn't a bad play. He wasn't a great play, but he didn't tank lineups.
No. The guy who played at Valero, who was really good. He was third at Punta Cana, second at Valero, 7K. Samuel Stevens.
I do remember him better, popping.
17th opportunities. Good in those par four ranges. Proximity from 175 to 200, pretty good at. Yeah, irons have been there. Putter, again, hit or miss. Around the green, not his strength. Off the tee, been solid. I'm assuming he's probably not a bomber, probably more of an accuracy guy. So, at 7K, guy who has a second, third, even if they're not the strongest events, and I realize this is a step up in class, going to an elevated event, but why not?
I can get behind that. It popped for you last time. You got anything positive left, or are we fading here?
Two other guys I have started. I won't go deep in them. Justin Suh, since he's been playing, or he played pretty well. Sam Ryder apparently starting to pop up again.
Yeah.
So, where was he? Third at Valero, 19th Valspar, 44th at Players. Oh, but, okay. All that's been putting. Well, Valero has approaches there, but good grief has he been putting well. So, that's a concern.
Skeeter, I've got an official fade for you here in 7K. Fade Keith Mitchell.
Oh, okay.
His star seems to be fading a little bit right now. Not to say that he can't rebound at any time, but the fifth at Genesis seems so long ago. And while it hasn't been a couple years since he's played here, he's got poor course history here as well.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm going to do this to one of your guys. This has been playing well. Mackenzie Hughes.
I didn't say I was going to play him 7K, so I don't blame you.
No, but I know you like him just because of the Honda a few years ago.
Absolutely.
Doesn't take much to be a James Adams guy for life.
It really doesn't, man. We're not looking for the greatest golfers in the world. We're just looking for guys we can cheer for. And you don't have to be an angel either. You can't be the absolute devil. But you don't have to be an angel either. I mean, heck, I put money on Brooksy.
I played Reed. I bet on Bubba, so.
I did play Reed, too. I'm willing to dance with the devil. I won't necessarily make a full blood back, but I guess I will certainly square dance and do-si-do with my partner one time with Patrick Reed. Because I was on him last week, too. The price was right.
I got some nice attention in our league.
Yes, it did. Yeah, he's a good villain. We kind of missed that on the PGA Tour. We'll see who, if anybody, becomes that. Or maybe it's just once every month or so we get a villain.
Yeah.
Skeeter, you got some 6K guys for me?
I do. I'm curious to see your thoughts on one of them. Let me timestamp this. All right. He makes a lot of cuts here. I don't think he has anything overly great finish-wise. 18th, 21st, but he's only missed one cut here since 2015. And he's sitting at 6,500. He's made three cuts in a row on tour. Or not 65, sorry, 6,600. Lucas Glover. Good proximity. That's about all I can, from 150 to 200. That's about the only positive I can say on him, other than that he has made three straight cuts and seems to make cuts here every well. So at 6,600, I can take a chance on him in that regard.
Have fun. have fun. Like, seriously, I went back to him. I even bet him a couple of weeks ago. He finished 45th. Have fun. I'm just not getting involved, which means he'll probably play good here. He plays good at your John Deere Classic. I highly doubt they're really comps, but so did JT Poston win that. Play good here. Good luck with Lucas Glover. I'm going to avoid him. I've got a guy at the top that seems like a perfect course for Brendan Todd. He doesn't have a good course history here. I'm not going to say I have to get to him at 6,900, but Brendan Todd, I mean, this certainly feels like a course where if he all of a sudden had a great result, it would make a lot of sense. If you want to go down to 6,600, Kevin Streelman has had some really nice success at this course. He's made a pair of cuts in a row. I mean, frankly, 27th at Valspar, 46th at Valero. give me a T50 like he got at the Genesis at this price tag. If I have to go there, I'm okay with it. I think those are the only two guys I'm interested in. I will take a peek at Kevin Kisner. He's been playing so bad, it's hard for me to believe I'll get there. 6,400 feels like a good fit. And I could make the same case for your boy, Zach Johnson. And then I got Jim Herman down at the bottom. This actually seems like a good course fit. It would have been a much better field for him 2 years ago than it is this year, though.
Yeah. The only other guy I have right now in the sixes, does a quick, had some success, was okay here early in his career, has not had much success here recently, but on tour recently, 10th and 15th, 10th Valspar, 15th at Valero. If we remember back to Phoenix, he was the, you know, before, you know, we were waiting for, you know, Kitayama was the first kind of surprise guy to win an elevated event. But if you remember, Nick Taylor nearly won it. And he, you know, with the 10th and 15th recently, the 6,900, he's shown he can compete. Good par 4 from 400 to 500. Good putter. The opportunities gain aren't exactly there, but everything else kind of is above top half. And at 6,900, I don't think that's a bad move at all.
No, I'll jot that one down. I don't hate that one either, taking a peek at that one. I don't think I have anyone else positive for you.
Yeah, I don't either.
You got a fade?
Oh, I'm sure I can find one here. Oh, don't know why he's in a field, but Ernie Els.
Oh, the big E's. Skeeter, I've got a fade for you. You know, we talked about the great success the Camerons have had here in recent years.
Uh-huh.
Man, I thought I found a gem last week with Cam Champ's Masters history.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, was he not good last week. So Cameron Champ's my fade at 6,400. Recency bias or not, my man Cam Champ has not had a good result since October. He has had one made cut. That was a T53 at Farmers. He is a massive fade. So maybe this is the week he pops after he disappointed me at Augusta. Boy, I thought he was a nice find. He was not.
This does not seem like a Cam Champ course.
I would agree with that, especially given the way he's playing. So
yeah.
I feel like that's an actually good, authentic fade there.
It is.
Thank you. Skeeter, are we ready to take that one-and-done conversation?
Absolutely.
Well, I went Jason Day. I considered Brooks, and I thought there would be a heavy Brooks, not necessarily even Brooks, but live player investment by the one and done community, given the fact that their availability was going to be one of four events. There probably wasn't as high of a usage of live players as I expected. I went Jason Day. It looked great until it looked terrible. Such is life at Augusta. I'm now swimming upstream. You're doing pretty good. What's your philosophy here?
So I'm 176 right now. I used Spieth last week, so which was fine. It ended up fine. I mean, if I had guts, I don't. If I had guts, I'd choose Kuchar. But I think I already kind of hinted at this a little bit. If I can't play Webb Simpson, I might as well play Paul Tesori and Cameron Young. So Cameron Young for right now is my pick.
He really interests me. Matt Kuchar with 84% availability is a chance to be highly used, as is Shane Lowry with 86, who I might go with. Shane Lowry. Yeah. I have Cam Young left too. I have Colin Morikawa. I'm considering both of those guys. I don't know if I go below like Corey Connors. You know, I'm not sure if I can get to the Russ Henleys of the world, the Keegan Bradleys of the world here.
Right. Like Kuchar, if this wasn't an elevated event,
Kuchar would be 15 to 1.
Well,
maybe not low, 15, but he'd be 25 to 1. He'd be up there in the top.
I would take a flyer on that, but. But yeah, I think Cam Young is probably my pick for now.
Yeah, I'm looking that direction. I might pivot just because, I don't know. I want to have a different guy than you. I don't know why. I know it doesn't make any sense. I could see myself going with Victor Hovland, actually.
That's not a bad pick either.
You know what? I'm going to put him in there. I'm going to pretend like this is Pebble Beach instead of South Carolina Harbor Town. And we're just going to play that coastal narrative that probably doesn't exist here.
Oh, fair.
I got Hovland in there for now. We'll see how it plays out. I like your pick as Cam Young, though, so he'll be in my lineups for sure. Skeeter, you got anything else for RBC Heritage?
No. One note, I know we've been missing a lot recently, and half of it's my fault, so I apologize. We probably won't be doing this next week because it's Zurich, and that's a team event, and that's just a wonky DraftKings type of scoring event, so probably will not be doing that. So if we have a change of heart, then obviously you'll in the feed you'll see it pop up, but we're not playing on that. But from here on out, outside of the Canadian Open when I'll be in Florida, I think we should be pretty good, unless of course life comes up, and sometimes it does.
Yeah, it does happen, but I'm with you. I think we'll be here for the long haul, so I'm looking forward to it. I agree with you. Next week is one of those set one lineups, and you know, have a little fun. Maybe you pick a team you like and you throw a little $10 on them, and you just move on, and you don't get too invested because it is an odd event. But it's kind of fun to watch with the friendly interaction of the guys as their teammates. But at the same time, it is almost like a, hey, let's take a little break here week.
Yes. I mean, I've already told you, because I do it every year, I'll bet on Kisner and Brown.
I can get with that. I'll just bet on Ryan Palmer and whoever he teams up with.
So I'm trying to see if they have
it'll be somebody good, right? It usually is.
I'm trying to see if they already have some of the teams out there. Oh, yeah, they do. Okay. So, I just saw. Oh, man, there's a couple teams I might have to bet here.
here we go.
Okay, Cantlay Schauffele. I think they're actually real-life good friends.
They are very good friends, yes.
Morikawa, Homa. Horschel and Burns. Didn't they win? Did they beat the year Louis and
Burns?
I think they might have won the year. Like, they went to a playoff with Louis and whoever his partner was. Louis, the first playoff hole, tees off an alternate shot in the water.
I don't remember who beat them. I just remember Louis once again didn't win on American soil.
Well, I mean, and finished second? Oh, shocker.
Yes, and finished second.
I mean, okay. Here's two of my teams. Thigala and Justin Suh.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been buying some golf trading cards of both of them for a while, so that's my team. The John Deere Classic team, Zach Johnson and Steve Stricker.
All right. Are they allowed to use a cart?
are we playing this a Deer Run?
I mean, these are old Ryder Cup captains. Those guys have already captained a Ryder Cup, right?
Yeah. Luke Donald. Oh, here's an odd one. Luke Donald and Eduardo Molinari?
They could be old friends from Ryder Cup. At one point, Frankie carried Eduardo's bag at Augusta, right? Long time ago. So
I don't remember that.
And Luke's old. I feel like that was a story about Frankie when he was playing with Tiger. Like, before he came to fruition, Eduardo was older, and he carried Eduardo's bag at Augusta.
Oh.
I'd have to go back and, like, make sure that that's just not a thing I made up remembering, but I feel like that's an accurate memory from that.
Okay. Jim Herman, Ryan Armour.
All right. Oh, that's the Ohio connection, the UC Ohio State connection.
Why do I remember Lipsky and Aaron Rye making a run last year?
Aaron Rye had a pretty good year last year. Boy, he had his moments anyway.
Benny On and S.H. Kim. Okay. Oh, boy, some of these teams are... we're going down the... rankings here.
That's okay.
I mean, we'll find some teams this week that will get announced, but there's some. Ooh, this is not a strong field.
Well, hopefully, I'll be using my winnings, and once again, those won't be one and done tournaments, so you won't have to look to them for that.
Thank goodness.
Skeeter, anything? Anything else for the RBC?
I don't have anything else.
All right, well, good luck to you. At least I was able to get some of my money back from my Millie Maker entry, so I'm hoping to, not make a deposit here again.
Oh, by the way,
anytime soon.
Who did Mrs. Adams bet?
She bet Patrick Cantlay, as a matter of fact.
Oh!
Would you believe that?
I'll tell you what, Mrs. Adams on... her betting is phenomenal.
She's had a good look at some tickets. At one point, you know, I don't know if it's the small field, dude, but it seems like at Augusta, at some point, I'm looking at either a really good bet or a really good DraftKings lineup, and it doesn't necessarily always end up in my pocket. But I don't know. Is it like, is that the case for everyone at Augusta? Like at some point, you know, you're like, oh man, I'm winning $800 on DraftKings. And then, you know, you're not.
Oh no. I've had years where it's like, Nope. This is done early. And
that's me at the Players. But I feel like at Augusta, I don't necessarily bring home the bacon, but I have those, I have those screenshot moments every year that just don't necessarily end up being the actual truth.
Right. The Rory JT lineups, I'm sure we're quickly done, but,
Indeed. Well, Skeeter, best of luck to you. Appreciate everyone for listening. We will be back at it again in a couple of weeks. And let's get some money in the bank, and maybe we'll even have our favorite draft picks in the football world by then too, buddy.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
For Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams. This has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.